From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 29th day of July 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of GrowMark will join us to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, country of origin labeling is on track for a September start, and the Doha round is still bogged down by agricultural issues. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll update you with the latest crop progress information from statisticians across the Midwest. And in just 26 minutes, Don Day will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September soft red winter wheat at $7.92, 5 3/4 lower on the afternoon. December futures at 8.16 1/2, down 5 1/4. And the March wheat at 8.39 3/4, down 4 cents on the afternoon. September corn futures $5.94, up 12 today. December 12 1/4 higher at 6.13 1/2. And the March contract in the corn pit 6.33 1/2, 12 3/4 higher. May futures 6.45 1/2, up 12 1/2. August soybean futures $13.84 1/4, down 16 cents. September at $13.86 1/4, down a dime. And November beans at $13.91, down 5 cents on the afternoon. January futures at $14.08 1/4, down 5 cents as well. August soybean meal at $3.76.50, 70 cents higher. And the August soybean oil futures finished at $57.83, down $1.47. August live cattle futures today, $97.55, up 47.5 cents for the afternoon. And the August feeders at $112.27 1/2 were $1.12 1/2 higher today. The August lean hog futures at $78.02 1/2 finished 52.5 cents higher, or rather lower, on the afternoon. In Kansas City, by the way, the nearby September hard red winter wheat at $8.25 settled 1/2 cent higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It is a production of Public Radio. Thanks for being with us, and to our new subscribers. Here's what the outside markets look like for the afternoon. September crude oil futures at $122.30, down $2.43 today. October crude oil futures at $123.50, $1.79 lower. Ethanol futures now trading the August contract at $2.45 1/2. That's 2 1/10 lower. And September futures are down 0.3 cents at $2.45 9/10. August natural gas futures at $9.12, 4 cents, or rather 4 3/10 lower. And the RBOB gasoline trading the August at $3 even. That's just about 6 cents, or rather 6 cents lower for the afternoon. August heating oil futures, diesel fuel, $3.47 2/10, down 8 9/10 on the afternoon. And the propane futures are 2 1/2 cents lower at $1.75 for the day. Gold futures are now trading the nearby July contract at $916.40 an ounce, $11.20 lower. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently stands at 11,323, just about 193 points higher on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 73.30. That's up 0.65 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast from our own Ed Kieser looks like for the two-state region. He says tonight it'll be mostly cloudy. There'll be a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows will range from 66 in far northwestern Illinois to 73 in the south. Tomorrow, Ed says, in northern Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, some periods of rain and thunderstorms. Highs will range this evening from 80 to 88. The extended forecast says a heat wave will start on Friday and continue right on to next week. A period of hot and humid weather expected, with high temps mostly in the 90s.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural futures markets by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, things started off on a shaky bout this morning across the floor, but things ended a little differently than that.
Yeah, the morning took a lot of tums this morning around here. You know, we start off with a sharp fall in the crude oil, the gold down on the day. We saw some funds selling in a, you know, sharp fall in the corn and soybean market, and a lot of, oh my God, get me too, me out too, as long as we went. And we went along, and then we finally saw one of the commercials buy about 6,000 November $16 bean calls, and the noon weather forecast changed a little bit, and we've got a little bounce back, Todd.
Well, the weather forecast says it may be hot and dry next week, and the bounce back certainly appears to have been happening in the corn pit. The beans still finished lower for the day, though, down 16 in the August. Novembers were off a nickel.
Yeah, but, you know, as we look at November beans at 1353, 1355 being the 100-day moving average, back at 1391 on the close is a nice recovery on the day, and we don't have to feel too bad about that. You know, crude oil was still down fairly hard, about $3 at the time of the close. It's only down half as much as it was there through the morning. It's down about 244 right now, Todd. So we did see some recovery there. We've seen some indications, whether it's official or not, because I didn't think the meeting was supposed to be for another half hour, the announcement that the CRP will not release any acreage for next year for planting, whether that's, you know, but it has hit the news wire. So that, of course, also being a little bit positive that no CRP ground will be released for next year. So we're still fighting over acres.
I haven't picked that one up, but that I do believe that that picked up at 1:45 this afternoon as opposed to 2:45. It was in Eastern time.
The announcement has come out that it said they wouldn't release anything.
So they have announced that there will be no release on the CRP. That probably may have been known in the marketplace ahead of time. It sure looks like it could have been with a dime higher.
Mm-hmm.
And that should make sure that corn futures continue to stay steady to climb, I would think, because we'll not only need those acres. We sort of needed those acres this year, but we certainly could have used them for next year's production.
Yeah, I mean, as long as crude oil stays you know, above the $100, $110 mark, why ethanol is going to factor into for a big usage of corn.
Now, what are your expectations for the rest of the week?
Well, I think, you know, we're all going to be watching the weather very, very closely, see what that ridge does look like it's going to maintain instead of retrograde. You know, we're looking at a very, very warm weekend. And, you know, one of the things that we noticed in the crop report yesterday, Todd, was the amount, you know, where we're at in the silking stage. And it takes 60 days to get the crop mature. And we've got a lot of chance for some crop damage if we would happen to have a 1st of October type frost in a lot of our northern states. So that and the bean conditions and down south, they're hurting.
Okay, well, we appreciate you being with us for the afternoon.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks much. That is Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey is here now. He has a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA has issued an interim final rule to the Federal Register. That means long-awaited country of origin labeling requirements for most meat products will take effect after September 30th. Yesterday's administrative action initiates a 60-day public comment period. COOL applies to fresh or frozen meat products sold at retail and excludes restaurants and processed foods. COOL has been controversial ever since it became part of the 2002 Farm Bill. One of the most divisive battles was how to label ground beef for hamburger. In its interim final rule, the USDA says the department, quote, continues to look for ways to minimize the burden associated with this rule. The Doha round continues to bog down today around the issue of agricultural import tariffs. holding up the process is an issue called Special Safeguard Mechanism. It allows countries to protect poor farmers by imposing a special tariff on certain agricultural goods in the event of an import surge or price fall. The CFTC's Ag Advisory Committee is holding a meeting today to discuss convergence and basis. Some grain analysts say the price discovery system is broken. Convergence is the coming together of cash and futures prices as a futures contract goes into delivery. The CFTC is also discussing settlement prices, margin requirements, and agricultural swaps. A University of Illinois study says U.S. farmers will have to spend a lot more next spring to plant corn and soybeans. The cost to plant corn next spring will be on average $529 an acre, or 36% more than this year. Soybean input costs are expected to rise on average 34% to $321 an acre. A report released Monday by the Transportation Department says that Americans have reduced their driving by over 40 billion miles over the last 7 months. The report also says U.S. drivers traveled 3.7% fewer miles in May than they did a year ago. That's twice the drop-off from the April numbers. And Tyson Foods reports a 92% drop in net income in the third quarter due to higher grain prices and a loss in its chicken segment. Net income was $9 million, down from $111 million for the year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can find those two programs and listen to them anytime you'd like on our website as a podcast or simply as an MP3 file. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. USDA, yesterday afternoon, released the latest crop progress report. It says for corn, acreage at or beyond silking has now reached 59%. That's 28 points behind last year and 22 points behind the rolling five-year average. A fourth of the crop has reached the silking stage, with major developments occurring in Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, and Ohio, where 30% or more of the crop began to silk during the previous week. Minnesota's corn acreage was well behind normal, with 34% at or beyond silking. That's 62 points behind last year and 51 points behind normal. For soybeans, 62% of the nation's soybean acreage was at or beyond the blooming stage last week, 20 points behind last year, 17 points behind normal. Soybean producing areas remained dry throughout the week, with a couple of exceptions in southern Iowa and northeastern Missouri, where an unwelcomed rainfall dumped 11 to 12 inches in some isolated areas. Despite those heavy rains, 14 and 13% of the acreage bloomed in Iowa and Missouri, respectively, during the week. However, Missouri continues to lag the furthest behind, with just 28% blooming, compared with 63% for the five-year average. Now, here are statisticians from across the Midwest with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, Director of USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 27, 2008. Overcast skies, humidity, and periods of sunshine characterized the week's weather in Iowa. By week's end, central and southern districts received several inches of rain and high winds, which damaged structures, caused soil erosion, and leveled crops in isolated areas. In areas unaffected by the storms, corn and soybean fields continued steady yet uneven development. There were 3.9 days suitable for field work, compared with 5.3 days last year at this time. 67% of the corn is now tasseled, which is 29 percentage points behind last year and 26 percentage points behind the five-year average. 45% of the corn acreage is silked, 40 percentage points behind last year and 36 percentage points behind the five-year average. Corn height averaged 72 inches, 18 inches behind last year at this time and 14 inches behind the five-year average. The corn condition rated 59% good to excellent. 67% of the soybeans are blooming, 13 days behind last year and 10 days behind the five-year average. soybeans were setting pods at 26%, 9 days behind last year and 7 days behind the five-year average. Soybean condition rated 62%, good to excellence, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 27, 2008. This is Greg Tayson.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending July 27th. The week ended with statewide temperatures averaging 2.2 degrees below normal, while precipitation accumulations averaged right at normal. That being said, there was a significant range of precipitation reported within crop reporting districts, with the northwestern district receiving the least at 0.31 inches, while the west-southwestern district received the most at 1.54 inches. Growing degree days since May 1 at 1,652 units still trailed the historic average by 109 units, or 6%. The corn crop was reported 79% in the silk stage, well behind the 98% 1 year ago and 95% 5 year average. 11% was reported in the dough stage compared to 43% 1 year ago and 35% 5 year average. Overall, the crop continued to be rated in mostly good condition. The soybean crop came in at 53% blooming, trailing last year's 93% and the 86% 5 year average. 15% of the crop has begun setting pods, compared with 55% 1 year ago and 42% normally. Leading the state in soybean maturity were the two northern crop reporting districts at 77% in the bloom stage. The soybean crop was rated 62% good or excellent condition, with a balance of 38% rated fair to very poor. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending July 27th. Field crop growth and development was advanced by the cooler weather for the week. Scattered thunderstorms have aided the crops and improved their condition. In some areas, with lighter soils, the sunny conditions and low humidity are depleting the soil moisture levels. The weather conditions have resulted in the relatively low insect and disease problems. Some producers noted that some late planted fields are catching up and corn pollination has benefited from the recent open weather. Some soybean fields have developed blooms despite their relatively short size. Precipitation ranged from a low of 0.02 inches to 2.65 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 95 degrees to a low of 49. For the week, 6 days were rated as suitable for field work. 71% of the corn acreage was rated as good to excellent condition, up from last week and compared with 50% for last year at this time. 68% of the planted corn acreage has silk, compared with 91% last year and 84% for the five-year average. 52% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 80% for last year and 73% for the five-year average. Soybean condition also improved and was rated 65% good to excellent, compared to 46% last year at this time. The winter wheat harvest is 98% complete, compared with 100% last year and 98% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 97% of the winter wheat is harvested in the north, 99% in the central region, and the winter wheat harvest is virtually complete in southern Indiana. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Just to repeat very quickly, this afternoon, USDA did hold a press conference. They announced that they will not allow land to be released penalty-free from the Conservation Reserve. Overall, some 34.7 million acres are enrolled in the CRP, which pays landowners to annually rent an annual rent to idle environmentally friendly lands for 10 years or more. Currently, if landowners want to break a contract, they'll have to pay a fee.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the energy markets. Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's an interesting day in the marketplace because there seems to be a bit of a differentiation. I'm not sure whether I can call it a differentiation. Most people seem to think that the market will continue lower for in the short term, but will rebound and head back up in the longer term. Where do you think the crude oil market might be headed?
Well, we've come down from about a peak of 147 here just a couple weeks ago down to almost 120 here today. And I think that this 120 to 122 area is very critical. If we can continue to hold 120 to 122 on a closing basis like we did today, then I think we could start carving out a little near-term low in the price and start on a move back up over 130 into the month of August here. But I doubt you can get back over about 135, and I think the season's highs are in place for the time being, although, like you mentioned, longer term, we probably have to go to higher numbers in here.
What do you think was the reason for the pullback simply demand, and where did that demand slacken off? Was it in the U.S.? I know we've seen numbers come about the U.S. driving and miles spent on the road being back. It seems to me that Beijing continues to think that the Olympics are awfully important, which they are, and has been limiting the number of cars that can be on the road in Beijing, too.
That's right. I think there's several factors that came into play. Also, the congressional investigations about the speculative environment in the market got really heated up right after the 4th of July there, or around it. The demand here in the U.S. really started to tail off. We had the $4 at the pumps, or plus $4 pump prices, right around the 4th of July weekend, and that's one of the largest driving holiday periods of the entire year. So we helped squash demand right at the peak time. Then there was some talk out of Iran that they may be wanting to talk a little bit more with us. I really don't have any great hopes or great beliefs. I guess I have hope, but not belief, that we can actually clarify that in any great way real easily. So we've had several things that come off. In fact, the funds now, according to the CFTC report, the funds have backed totally out of their net long position in the crude oil market. And a number of people said that if those funds ever back out totally, the crude oil market could drop $50. Well, it hasn't. It has dropped, but it hasn't fallen out of bed really here like they said it was. But it did fall from like 147 down to 120. Now it's interesting. Just today we're starting to get some reports that gasoline demand for last week could have been some of the strongest of the entire calendar year. So, you know, we want it to fall as consumers, but the market, to do its job, probably needs to stay at a fairly high level for a longer period of time to be able to help cut this demand.
And, well, how much cut do we need in demand, do you think?
Well, that's a good question. Very good question. You know, anytime when you're on a radio show or in front of a group, you should always have a good answer for something, and I really don't have a great answer for that. And again, the markets are worldwide. It's not just in the U.S. And to gauge how much what's going on with the China and India demand will be interesting to see, especially after the Olympics are over. A lot of people say it could just be a demand building up to the Olympics that's pushing it. I really don't believe so. I think China's demand is there to stay for a number of years, really.
Okay, thanks much. Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us on a Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the energy markets. We'll be back in 2 minutes to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us.
It's National Lasagna Day. It's also St. Martha's Day, patron saint of butlers, dietitians, cooks, innkeepers, and waitresses. On this day in agricultural history in 1796, Walter Hunt was born. He invented the first safety pin in 1849, which he called a dress pin. The pin was made out of brass wire about 8 inches long, coiled at the center and shielded at one end. He sold the rights to the pin for $400. By the way, Hunt began his inventing in his late teens with a machine to spin flax. In 1870, the first asphalt pavement was laid in the U.S. in Newark, New Jersey. In 1914, Baron Marcel Bic was born. A French inventor, he created the Bic pen in 1949. and in 1973, the Bic lighter, and in 1976, the Bic shaver. In 1977, Buffalo, New York declared this day Chicken Wing Day in honor of the famous Buffalo chicken wings created by Teresa Bellissimo in October of 1964. And in 1984, Fred Waring died. Waring provided financial backing for development of a blender to puree raw vegetables for his ulcer diet. The machine, originally introduced as the Miracle Mixer, debuted in 1937 and sold for $29.75. By 1954, the name had changed to the Waring Blender, and more than 1 million had been sold. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming joins us. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
And tell me about the weather forecast for my part of the world.
Well, it looks like just exactly how late July and early August should look. Some very warm temperatures. In fact, temperatures are going to be averaging a bit above normal across a good stretch of the country from the Rockies east and the Midwest and Plain States. Not going to be completely dry, though. We've got some thunderstorm activity that will be popping up occasionally, although there will be some dry areas. I think the central and northern Corn Belt especially may be a little bit on the dry side, but we see off and on thunderstorm chances across most of the region. So with the heat, there will be a little bit of rain.
And then as we get into next week, will we be building some more heat into the Midwest?
We probably will. Dog days of summer will be fully entrenched for a good chunk of at least the first half of next week. Now, there's a little disagreement. Some of our long-range charts, one of our long-range charts does indicate maybe some slightly cooler air moving into the upper plain states, northern plains late next week, and that may make its way into the Corn Belt. But I think we got a good solid 7, 8, 9 days here of some very warm temperatures.
Warm temperatures, will they come along with rainfall at all?
Well, especially in the southern areas, I do see that. The southern end of the Ohio Valley, portions of Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, down into the Delta and southeast United States, I see those areas having the best chance of rain. Central and northern Indiana, the Ohio area, northern and central Illinois, they're going to see a little bit of a lesser chance for thunderstorms.
Any places in the nation that are under severe stress at this time?
Well, if you go into the far west, obviously with the fires in California and the far west areas, very hot and dry conditions there continue. But there has been some very beneficial rains in areas that needed it, especially the high plains of western and southwest Kansas, the Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle region. The remnants of what used to be Hurricane Dolly moving through those areas over the last 48 hours, bringing some very beneficial rains.
Have you been keeping track of the Chinese growing regions?
Wet. They've been getting some rain, and they're going to get more forecast for a good chunk of China is for above normal precipitation.
Anything else that we ought to take up before I let you go for the afternoon?
A little bit warmer than normal Western Europe, Eastern Europe a little bit cooler than normal Western Europe, dry Eastern Europe a little bit more moist.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks much. That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Remember, we have meteorologists each and every day on the Closing Market Report, a different one, and the people that make the difference at the Chicago Board of Trade. Tomorrow, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He's out of Kansas City.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You've been listening to the Closing Market Report as a production of the University of Illinois, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. If you'd like to visit our website, please do so. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find most of our daily agricultural programming. You can listen to the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week anytime you'd like as an MP3 file, or sign up to have them delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. It all happens at willag.org. Also, remember, you can subscribe to our weekend newsletter. It's on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.